Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. It's me, Jesse, here with you for the Thursday morning episode of Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM, way up here on Burnaby Mountain, where this program and all of CJSF's in-house programming is produced on the unceded and ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. We've been here since time immemorial, getting together, listening to each other, talking to each other, sharing stories and ideas and culture. And I'm very grateful as an uninvited settler to be able to continue that in my own personal way here at CJSF. And I'm glad you're here to join me for that, for this. So let's get into it. Today on the show, a mix of old and new. Not old, but I'm going to play a couple pieces that are from a few months ago that have some relevance, some current day relevance, and a new story out of Prince George, CFUR. And we're going to hear Danny's latest piece about the Rickanson Accessible Outdoors program, which launched last week out in Steveston. And of course, there will be music, because there always is. And when it's me at the wheel, it's usually local. So guess what? That's what's going to happen today. La Lune are a Vancouver-based shoegaze-ish indie rock post-punk band who just put out their second release, which is called Everything is an Eternal Circle and It Repeats and Repeats Itself. And just like their first release, Disparity, it rules. So we're going to hear the lead single from this record, Everything is an Eternal Circle and It Repeats and Repeats Itself, by La Lune. This track is called Expressionless.
Expression haunted by the
It ends quickly, but that's Expressionless by La Lune from Everything is an Eternal Circle, and it repeats and repeats itself. The whole album flows together beautifully. Definitely recommend checking it out, which you can do on Bandcamp. You can grab a cassette that has that record on one side and their first one, Disparity, on the other. It's pretty cool, I think. Anyway, let's get into the talk. I said we were going to head up to Prince George to hear from Ian Gregg at CFUR. And let's do it.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. It's a cultural keystone in many larger centers across the country to have a festival dedicated to our youth. But Prince George does not currently have a consistent annual children's festival. The Multicultural Heritage Society of Prince George is hoping to change that with the Northern BC Multicultural Children's Festival on Saturday, May 31st at Clearly Today Memorial Park. So, Multicultural Heritage Society is an organization that encourages participation of diverse cultures in our community. They do that through educational workshops, conferences, artistic events, provide opportunities for collaborative relationships with these events in Northern BC. Joining us in studio today is the Multicultural Heritage Society's Acting Administrator, Margaret Jackson.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having us.
Absolutely. And Margaret, it's not the first time the Multicultural Heritage Society put on a children's festival, but it was a little while ago. When was the last children's festival that MHS put on?
So it was actually originally started with the Studio 2880. They actually originated, and I believe it was like, I'm going to say 1980 roughly, but it actually unfortunately came across harder to find volunteers, sponsorships, and they chose to close it in 2009. So we've not had any children's festival per se since then. We have some smaller children activities and events that kind of have filled that gap, but with the ever-growing children's population that we are experiencing with immigration and as the children have grown up, now having children of their own, it's quite nice to hear some of those stories that they get very excited that it's coming back because they remember all the different acts and art culture that they experienced back then.
It is really challenging to encourage volunteerism at any time. And this festival is no different. I understand that you're welcoming volunteers to join. I'll get into that in a minute. But I wanted to ask you, what has the Multicultural Heritage Society had to do over the last several years to be able to get into a position to put on an event like this again?
This year, we're actually celebrating 50 years of service to Prince George and the general area. That's a lot of experience that have come and gone, and it just seems like we've gone through a transition. Our executive director was Marlise for over 30 years, and unfortunately she passed away.
Is that Marlise Gerlach? Yeah.
Yes. She's an amazing lady. Her information actually is on our website. People still don't understand that actually she was diabetic and she passed away in 2023. So we've been without her knowledge for like 2 years now. In doing that, actually, we have partnered with the City of Prince George so we can carry on with the Canada Day, because that was our mainstay, was Canada Day every year. And we're the only Multicultural Canada Day in BC, so it's always kind of nice. But when we had to do the partnership to make sure that we stayed stable and strong and carried on with Canada Day, what other things have we had in the past that was really quite an amazing event for somebody in the north? And we had a couple suggestions, but it always came back to the Children's Festival. The biggest impact for the people that were involved as participants and volunteers, the sponsors, and then the community at large, we still hear the stories about what they liked best. I've actually had the opportunity to speak with some of the entertainers that we had, like Robert Munch and Fred Penner, Charlotte Diamond. She's on our books to come next year, so that's exciting. It's taken a lot to get the organization on solid footing for at least 10 board members to make sure that we have all the skill sets that you need to carry on a business. Even though we're a nonprofit, we are a business. It's difficult to get funding for a first year. And since it's been so long, it's classified as a first year event. We're always open for fundraising. We're always open for sponsorships and always open for volunteers to get involved. There's actually over 17 different positions to be actively involved, from being working in the office to helping with the setup, helping to stay connected with the entertainers. It's quite a challenge, but it's been very fulfilling. A lot of rewards.
And taking applications for those volunteer roles now. When offering a festival at no cost to the public for the kids participating, sponsorship is a critical part of that too. A feature of this festival is education through interaction. And it being a children's festival, this usually means games. And what kinds of activities can kids get involved in at Claidley Memorial Park on May 31st?
I'm so happy that you asked me that question. We had quite a lengthy strategic meeting over several weeks, way back in the winter. We made the hard choice not to have any electronic games, not to have any bouncy balls or anything else that would not be like a heritage cultural thing. So we've been asking many people just walking on the streets, what did you enjoy doing as a child that we don't necessarily do today in Prince George? So from Africa, from the Caribbean, from China, from Japan, it's been amazing. So there's going to be a variety of activities, a variety of food, variety of entertainers, many even interactive to the point where you can actually learn how to do some of the dances. There will be recipes that you can take home and try some cultural food or different dishes. The artistic side of things, we want to encourage self-expression. Everybody self-identifies now, so self-expression is just beautiful. From Crayolas to colored pencils to black and white, just regular pencil etchings, it's available. On that one day, everything's available.
Hands-on, human-to-human interaction is the fundamental basis of these activities.
Absolutely. We have Sandra Payne, that is a child book author that lives in Prince George. She will be actually on our main stage with an interactive story to share with the children. And it's going to be interesting. Really gets the young ones right into the character of the book. So that's quite exciting.
There are opportunities to support the festival. You have
Gigi's Market now.
Gigi's Market,
which is underneath the Coast Hotel on 770 Brunswick Street,
where people can pay for table space, sell some goods, and also raise some money for the festival.
Absolutely. And sign up as a volunteer, sign up as a sponsor, or even provide information, testimonials of what it was like back in the old days. And when I say old days, it wasn't that many years ago, you know.
Just right. All important factors for making this not just happen this time, but happen again. And you're looking for volunteers. How many more volunteers do you need? What's the total? Where are you at?
I think we're actually at about 57 volunteers that have been earmarked or come to our weekly volunteer meetings every Thursday night. At the office, we have quite a large classroom, boardroom area that we have set up every other Thursday at 6 o'clock to come in and take a look or sign up. Last week, we actually pulled out all the games and hula hoops and ladders to jump through and beanbag tosses. And it was amazing. Last Thursday night was when the volunteers really kind of got to see what they were actually in for.
The orientations have begun.
Yes.
Great. Before people head out to the festival on May 31st, that's a Saturday at Claidley Memorial Park, what do you want people to know about the festival to celebrate this day together? Perhaps what's your motivation?
The actual aim of bringing this multicultural children's festival back together is to provide fun, engaging, safe environment. We know children learn, and the lessons they learn actually stay with them longer if they learn it in a fun environment. So it's like bike safety. The brain injured group will be there with the helmet safety. Bear Aware will be there on how to protect yourself during the bear season. So it's really important. But the Children's Festival is going to serve as a platform to actually celebrate the different cultures that we currently have. If you've been listening to the news, there's quite an influx of Ukrainian families coming. And I can tell you, they have been amazing jumping on board as volunteers. It's just been incredible, actually. They are learning how to speak our language, understand our culture, understand. And that's the nice thing about the Children's Festival. It's actually a melding of the cultures, because we all have good and not so good in our histories. So if we can focus on the good, it can only make things better.
In a sense, you're looking at this as a bridge-building opportunity within our community, for our community.
Absolutely. I guess a long-term objective, or the positivity that's going to come out of this, the up-and-coming generations will understand a better understanding of teamwork, of giving back to the community, why it's important to volunteer, whether it be the Children's Festival or with the deaf and hard of hearing kids or with the cancer bike ride. All these things are usually instilled in children at a young age. So it's important to establish that feeling of inclusivity, no matter where you came from. The personal development of children happen as they grow, and the more information they get from stimulation from different cultural events that we have throughout the city creates a stronger, more diverse, all across the board, from people that become teachers and politicians and people that are going to create what the world's going to, as the world's changing drastically. Basically, we want it to be entertaining. We want to encourage families to come. If they're not comfortable trying the cultural food that's coming, bring a family picnic. Come and enjoy the day. If they have questions, or there'll be an information booth there, first aid people there, the fire department, ambulance, all the important things that kids like to see, make noise, that sort of thing. I spoke with Wall to Wall. Her name's Chris. And she's going to have her team come with a wheelbarrow of things to do whatever they're going to do. So no electronics, no stimulation of flashing lights or any of that, because that, some children are quite sensitive to that. We just want to be normal, everyday skill-building experiences for them, and something that they're going to remember so they'll want to come back next year. But coming next year, it's going to be absolutely amazing. And we will do it not just on a Saturday. We will do it during a school day, because that was one of the highlights that most people said, that it was a school trip that got them there. It wasn't their parents.
Speaking with us today about the upcoming Children's Festival put on by the Multicultural Heritage Society is Acting Administrator Margaret Jackson. Thank you so much for your time, Margaret. And we look forward to celebrating the Children's Festival with you Saturday, May 31st at Clay Lee Today Memorial Park.
Thank you so much. Come down to Gigi's Market and sign up.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or CFUR.ca.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
Cooperatives and Mutuals Canada is honored to host the annual CMC Congress from June 10 to June 12 at the Hotel Saskatchewan in Regina, Saskatchewan. Under this year's theme, The Future is Co-op, join us for thought-provoking plenaries and participate in interactive workshops and breakout sessions. To learn more or register, please visit www.canada.coop now.
Ooh.
The Giving Shapes, project of harpist vocalist Elisa Thorne and pianist vocalist Robin Jacobs. Robin, a member of Only a Visitor, who I've played many times in the past, performed a Studio 6 live session here at the station. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. And now, let's hear from Danny.
Reporting from Richmond, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. Established in 1988, the Rick Hansen Foundation is a nonprofit organization that was founded by Rick Hansen following the completion of his Man in Motion world tour that helped raise $26 million towards spinal cord injury research. For over 35 years, the organization has worked to raise awareness, change attitudes, and remove barriers for people with disabilities. On May 8th, the Rick Hansen Foundation held an event at the Gulf of Georgia Cannery National Historic Site in Richmond, BC, celebrating the launch of the organization's newest venture, their Accessible Outdoors program. The newly launched program aims to make outdoor activities more accessible for people living with disabilities by inspiring new projects, initiatives, and policies that enable access and inclusion. Their first goal? To make the ocean a place that is accessible for all. During the event, Rick Hansen unveiled the Everyone Everywhere, a boat that takes into consideration the safety and comfort needs of people living with disabilities. The Rick Hansen Foundation identified boating as something that is often inaccessible for people living with disabilities due to a lack of design consideration for these populations. CJSF was able to take a tour of the vessel, where Hansen spoke at length of the new opportunities that it provides for people living with disabilities.
Yeah, the reason we wanted to start in the marine environment was because, first of all, that's one of the biggest barriers out there, is if almost every marina that exists, every boat that's being built, is actually not accessible. And so when you have a marina, a host marina like the Steveston Harbor Authority, that's actually thinking about accessibility, it's a shining example of what could be everywhere. The boats that are being built are built in general without accessibility in mind, and they're hard to adapt, even if they they're purchased by someone and someone has a stroke or an injury. They really feel like they actually have to get rid of the boat and maybe not even be able to participate again. And by the way, you know, accessibility is one of the fastest segments of the global tourism industry. And so when we bring people here to British Columbia and they go out whale watching, they go out, you know, sport fishing, they do ecotourism, we want them to be able to participate. And it should be good for Canada to be able to actually offer this and really attract more people to be here.
Hansen then went on to give a more detailed explanation of the possibilities that this boat provides.
In this boat, we want to be able to have the back section, which is typically, it's the working section. It's where you can actually go out and be a researcher and work on conservation. You can clean up, you know, ghost nets in the river that don't need to be there and put it into recycling, or you can work on habitat or do sonar assessment or tag fish and monitor them and release them, or you can be a recreational fisherman or fisherwoman. And so these are the opportunities in the back, where you can be outdoors doing a cruise and doing an ecotourism example, where a First Nations leader can be a host and they can actually have a disability and actually be on the water for the first time in their entire life, talking about their heritage and how important the river is to their nation and to all of us, and how we have to make sure that it's healthy so that it's sustainable for the future.
We then had the opportunity to go onto the vessel, where Hansen spoke on how the adaptable design of this boat can hopefully inspire other manufacturers to take note of these design choices.
You make it general for everybody, and then you can, if you put anything unique that's kind of fixed, you can actually, once you have the floor plan, you can easily adapt it. You can move it around or take it if somebody has different needs, or like, for instance, if I purchase this and I was able-bodied, if I put like fixed seats in, then the boat has been built so that if someone came along and they were in a wheelchair, they could take the seats out, put the lift in, and it would be a simple adaptation because there's no structural barrier in the way. But if it was structurally changed, you know, where that open floor plan didn't exist, then it would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.